Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. And one final thing, I hope it's final. I'm afraid it's not going to be final. On the QAnon Marjorie Taylor Greene, she had a press conference yesterday in Dalton, Georgia. She invited the public and she invited the press. Press showed up. A woman from a radio station in Tennessee nearby raised her hand and asked a question. Marjorie Taylor Greene signaled to two sheriff's deputies and they carried her out. The press are not permitted to ask questions at her events. And that is her regard for democracy. We had some of that here in this state. We had Sean Duffy up in the 7th at one time when he was the guy who left. And that's unfortunately how Tiffany got in. But what Duffy would do, I'm told by my friends up in the 7th District, is when there was a town hall of some sort, it would be moderated by a police officer to intimidate everybody. And if somebody asked something he didn't like, he'd be told to sit down. If he didn't sit down, they'd be arrested and dragged out of there. That's Russia. That's what they do in Russia. They do it in Belarus. They do it with commie countries. They do it in Venezuela, jihadist countries. They'll do it in Africa. They'll do it in Asia. And they used to do it in the 7th Congressional District. Somebody like Ron Johnson doesn't even hold them. He'll do them on the phone. The Republican Party is insular, anti-democratic, and in the case of Marjorie Taylor Greene, violent. Now, I've got some good news about good governance. Unfortunately, good governance doesn't make the news the way the pathologies of the Republican Party do. But I'm going to give you a couple of things right now that made me feel very good. Joe Biden has been president for a week. It was a week yesterday, just a week. Among all the executive orders, dozens of executive orders he's signed to overturn Donald Trump's damage, he also has now installed and sworn in about 1,000 employees throughout government, 25% of senior government employees, and thrown out Trump political appointees, 1,000 of them. One historian, when he did that, pointed out, it's great. He said, you know, it's harder to rebuild a government than it is to ransack it, demoralize it, and hollow it out the way Trump did. Biden, you know, of the roughly 4,000 senior, influential, basically anonymous government employees, I'm not talking about the average person. I mean, the government has hundreds of thousands, millions of employees. I'm talking about people in policy-making decisions who Trump put in as political appointees. They're basically trolls, basically moles, basically done to hollow out the government and lie there in the weeds and be sleeper cells going forward. Biden got rid of them, flat out got rid of them, 1,000 of them, and put good people in there, career people, honest people who are going to do a good job. And somebody said to Biden, well, you know, what about litigation? You're just yanking these people. He said, oh, let them sue. Go ahead, let them sue. With one of them, the head of the NSA legal department, the general counsel, Ellis, a troll put in by Trump the day before Trump stopped being president, and Biden simply yanked him. And people said, well, you know, he'll sue. This is a, you know, he was given this contract. Too bad, too bad. It's a collusive contract. It is in bad faith. It's crooked. And a launched investigation Biden did on the circumstances of replacing the general counsel of the NSA the day before Trump leaves. To any judge, that's not going to look good. But Biden has reformed the government single-handedly in the first week, replaced 25% of the trolls, moles, sleeper cells that Trump put in. Biden has done this, that Trump put in, to really sabotage our government. But there's still 75%. There's still 3,000 others. And a point's been made, and I want to repeat this. It's very important. Biden is the only one, not only among the Republican the Democratic primary candidates, 17, 19, 25, however many they were, who had the experience to know this and know what to do. But he was the only one with the experience to work on it during the transition when he was being stonewalled by Trump, and the Defense Department wouldn't meet with him. The NSA wouldn't meet with him, and they gave him bad information, and they replaced people at the very end. Biden was the only one who had the knowledge of what needed to be replaced and the knowledge of who would be good replacements and the knowledge to direct his staff and his putative cabinet appointees who had been announced but not yet confirmed to start putting this in place. If he'd waited a month, 2 months, 3 months, like a lot of other presidents, a lot of damage would have been done. A lot of damage would have been done. The other good piece of news, and this can't be overstated. Donald Trump, as you know, was servile to Vladimir Putin. He was afraid of Putin. He was afraid of Putin. And it reminds me, I'm a big Sherlock Holmes freak. I like Sherlock Holmes, especially when I was a kid. I read all the Sherlock Holmes. I'm not talking about any videos. I'm talking about reading Sherlock Holmes. Very interesting stuff. You should read it. And one of his short stories is called The Case of the Gloria Scott. The Case of the Gloria Scott. You got to read it. And in it, basically what it is a very fancy aristocratic guy in England who, when he was younger, was shipped to Australia as a criminal. They mutinied, murdered the crew, and he got back to England. He made a lot of money. But there's a horrible secret, because if they ever caught him, he'd be hanged because there's no statute of limitations for murder. And one of the crew members who know he did that and had been part of it came shining around his estate and just kept blackmailing him and demanding to live at the estate and eat whatever food he wants and sleep in his bed and insult him in front of his guests. And ultimately, the guy dies. But it's a well-written story. However, The Secret of the Gloria Scott, Google it. You got to read it. That is exactly what happened to Donald Trump. Donald Trump has many great crimes in his background, but one of them is being in debt to the commie Ruskies for $400 million, or at least guaranteed by them. And the other one is the Steele video, the coprophile pervert video. People say, no, that wasn't proved. What do you mean it wasn't proved? Well, you have to look at servile conduct towards Trump, Trump's servile conduct towards Putin. Well, Biden's a breath of fresh air. So Biden calls Putin in his first week. He calls Putin the other day, and he raises everything that Trump didn't. And he said, we're investigating this business of you putting out bounties on our troops in Afghanistan. Not only had it better not happen again, but when we have the full facts on it, I will respond. And you hacked in to our servers over here, the SolarWinds hack, for something like 8 months. And we are analyzing that and going to respond to that. And you poisoned Navalny, your major opposition figure, with chemical weapons. And then basically you're beating and imprisoning protesters. And we're not putting up with that either. Now, on the New START treaty, if you want 5 more years, we'll give you that. Going forward, yes, we want to work with Russia, but we are not going to put up with attacks from Russia. We're far more powerful than you are. We will respond. The beauty of that call, is not only had that call never been made before by Trump, and it should have been, but the beauty of that call is it's customary in international relations when two heads of state have a phone call, each one publishes its version of what was discussed. And Biden put out the true version, which is exactly what I just described. And the crooked murderer, KGB murderer Putin, put out something that didn't mention any of that, said that Biden and he discussed economic cooperation and how to make the world a better place. Well, one way to make the world a better place, get the hell out of Crimea and Ukraine. And the other one, quit putting pressure on Eastern Europe and a lot of other things. But typical commie, Rusky commie kind of description, Putin put out what I just described. Under Trump, we never put out anything. He talked to Putin something like 6 times after bounties were put out on our troops. Trump never put out anything, and Putin put out his propaganda, like I just described. Things like, we had a wonderful talk, President Trump praised me for this, and we have to economically cooperate and blah, blah, blah. Well, he's putting out bounties on our troops. And at the time, as it turns out, hacking our servers, our government servers. So what does that leave us with? It leaves us with some very, very good news. Biden in the first 6 days has replaced 25% of the trolls, moles, and sleeper cells that Trump put in, about 1,000 new employees throughout the old one, and said, you want to sue? Go ahead. You're a sleeper cell. You're a troll. You're a mole. Try to overcome that, Jack. Try to overcome that. And he's at work on the rest of them. And he did it very quickly with the experience. And the second piece of very good news is that the commie Rusky Putin suddenly has somebody who has the interest of the United States in mind for a change, which is real refreshing considering he's president of the United States and Trump never did. Trump never did. The other thing, I mean, Biden's been very busy. He put out a number of climate change orders and he's putting a pause on any oil and gas leases, either offshore or on federal lands. About time. Trump went in the Alaska Wildlife Refuge and was signing leases the day before he left the presidency. Fortunately, under the law, that requires permits, which he couldn't give yet. And Biden's simply not going to give those permits. And if they sue on it, Biden's going to say it's a crooked lease, jammed in a day before. And in any event, it didn't have the required review and the required public comment period. And I think he can stop it. But we are able to stop oil and gas exploration on federal lands, federal parks, national parks, and offshore. He also says that our U.S. fleet, our vehicle fleet, will go to 100% non-emission. In other words, electric, building charging stations. He says it's going to result in about 1 million jobs in building charging stations and building these electric vehicles. And the big car companies are for it because they're rational. They're rational. They're going to get orders for a lot of cars. How many cars and trucks and vehicles do you think the federal government has? They're all over the place. You know it, from the post office to everything else. Everything else. It's all good. We got Biden in there now. It's been 4 more years of Trump. I can't imagine how it would have been. Coming to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.